Chapter 54. Chin Chang looked like a man who had seen the deepest pit in hell and wanted no part of it. His face was as white and rigid as hardened putty. Sweat streamed from his forehead. His eyes glazed with shock. For a man totally in control of his emotions during his entire life, he was suddenly paralyzed. He stared awestruck at the face inside the bubble-shaped head of the yellow and black monster as it broke into a ghastly grin. And then he recognized the familiar features. "Pit!" he gasped in a rasping whisper. "Yes, it's me," Pit answered over his underwater communication system inside the newt suit. "You do hear me, don't you, Chin Chang?" The trauma of disbelief, then revulsion at who the apparition was, released a flow of venom in Chin Chang's veins, as shock turned into crazed wrath. "I hear you," he said slowly, his thoughts coming back under his iron control. He did not demand to know where Pitt came from or what he was doing here. There was only one question in Chin Chang's mind. "Where is the treasure?" "Treasure?" Pitt said, his face taking on a witless expression behind the transparent bubble on the globular helmet of the newt suit. "I ain't got no treasure." "What has happened to it?" Chin Chang demanded, his eyes sick with the cold realization of defeat. "What have you done with the historical masterworks of my country?" "Put it all in a place where it's safe from scum like you who want it all to themselves." "How?" he asked simply. "With much luck and many good people," Pitt said impassively. "After my researcher discovered a survivor who pointed the way, I put together a salvage project combining NUMA, the U.S. Navy, and the Canadians. Together, they completed the salvage in 10 days before leaking the Princess Doan's position to your researcher. I believe his name is Zhu Quan. Then it was merely a matter of sitting back and waiting for you to show up. I knew you were obsessed by the treasure, Chin Chang. I read you like a book. Now it's payoff time. By coming back into the U.S., you forfeited any chance you had of a long life. Unfortunately, because there is a great lack of ethics and morality in the world these days, your money and political influence has undoubtedly kept you out of prison. But the final entry in your ledger, Chin Chang, is that you are going to die. You are going to die as retribution for all those innocent people you murdered." "You create amusing plots, Pitt." There was a sneer in Chin Chang's voice, but it was contradicted by a deep uneasiness in his eyes. "And who is going to see that I die?" "I've been waiting for you," Pitt said, hate mirrored in his green eyes. "There was never a doubt that you would come and come alone." "Are you quite finished? Or do you wish to bore me to death?" Chin Chang knew his life was hanging by a thread, but he had yet to figure by what means he was supposed to die. Although Pitt's casualness made him uncomfortable, all fear was slowly replaced by an inner self-defense mechanism. His conspiring mind began to concentrate on a plan to save himself. His hopes rose when he comprehended that Pitt had no support from a surface ship. A diver inside a newt suit did not make descents and ascents without an umbilical cable. He had to be lowered and raised by winch from a mother ship on the surface. The cable also served as a communications link. Pitt was breathing self-contained air that could not last much longer than an hour. Without life support on the surface, Pitt was on borrowed time and totally defenseless. "You're not as clever as you think," Chin Chang said, a faint pallor on his face. "From my side of the viewing port, it looks like you are the one who is going to die, Mr. Pitt. Your ingenious diving apparatus against my submersible, you stand about as much chance as a sloth against a bear. I'm willing to give it a try. Where is your support ship?"
"I don't need one," Pitt said with unnerving nonchalance.
I walked from shore. You are very humorous for a man who will never see the sun again. As Chin Shang spoke, his hands moved furtively toward the controls of the submersible's manipulator arms and their claws. I can either drop my weights and float to the surface, leaving you alone to your fate, or I can call my crew and order them to send down my backup submersible. Not fair. That would make it two bears against one sloth. The man's imperturbable composure is inhuman, thought Chin Shang. Something is not as it seems. You act sure of yourself, he said, as he measured his options. Pitt raised one of the newt suit's manipulator arms and displayed a small, watertight box with an antenna. In case you're wondering why you haven't heard from your friends topside, this little device scrambles all communications within 500 feet. That explained why he had received no calls from the Jade Adventurer. But that piece of news did nothing to deter Chin Shang's determination to wreak punishment on Pitt. You have meddled in my affairs for the last time. Chin Shang's fingers slowly curled around the throttle of the thrusters and the manipulator controls. I cannot waste another minute with you. I must seek out where you've hidden the treasure. Farewell, Mr. Pitt. I'm dropping my ballast weights and returning to the surface. Pitt knew full well what was coming. Even through the murky water that separated them, he detected the sudden shift in Chin Shang's eyes. He threw up his manipulator arms to protect his vulnerable bubble mask and reversed the two small motors mounted on each side of the newt suit's waist. His reaction came at almost the same instant as the submersible lurched forward. It was a battle Pitt could not win. 1 second the Sea Lotus was hovering level. The next it was relentlessly coming toward him. His much smaller manipulator pincers were no match for the larger claws on the arms of the submersible. Chin Shang's vehicle could also move at twice the speed of the newt suit. If the submersible's mechanical claws cut through the newt suit, it would be all over. Pitt could do nothing but helplessly watch as the big, ugly manipulator arms spread in preparation of encircling him in a death grip, squeezing until the integrity of the newt suit was gashed open to the water waiting to rush inside. When that happened, Pitt would die an agonizing death. He had no wish to wait for the water to gush down his open throat into his lungs. The burst of sudden pressure alone would make his final moments unbearable. He had come close to drowning on at least two occasions, and he had no desire to repeat the events. Tormented, struggling and dying, with no one near him to see except his most vicious enemy, was not what Pitt had in mind. Pitt longed to drive the newt suit forward, using his own manipulator pincers to smash Chin Shang's viewing window of the submersible. But they were too short, and would have easily been knocked away by the arms on the submersible. Also, an aggressive attack was not part of his plan. He looked into the twin jaws of death, saw the evil leer on Chin Shang's face, and maneuvered his cumbersome pressure suit backward in a losing effort to stall for time. Directing the articulated joints of the newt suit, he leaned over and used the manipulator pincers to pick up a short length of pipe that was lying on the deck. Then he swung the pipe to ward off the deadly arms of the submersible. It was almost a laughable gesture. Chin Shang guided his claws toward Pitt from two sides. Almost as if he was snatching candy from a baby, he seized the pipe and tore it from the newt suit's pincers. If spectators could have seen the fight through the murk, it would have looked like a ballet between two huge animals in slow motion. All movement at that depth was hindered by the surrounding water pressure. Then Pitt felt the newt suit come to an abrupt halt as he backed it against the forward bulkhead of the Princess Doan superstructure. Now there was no room to escape the onslaught. The uneven fight had only lasted 8 or 9 minutes. Pitt could see the satanic grin on Chin Shang's face as his sadistic opponent closed in for the kill. Then, unexpectedly, without warning, A vague shape came gliding silently out of the gloom like a great incarnate vulture. Stretched prone inside a submersible with the configuration of a small airplane with stubby wings and a tail assembly, Giordino angled the Sappho 4 from above and dropped behind the Sea Lotus. With grim concentration, he operated the controls to a vice-like talon that protruded from beneath the craft. Clutched in the talon was a small round ball, less than 3 inches in diameter, that was attached to a small suction device. Completely oblivious, Chin Chang's attention was focused on murdering Pitt. Then Giordino pressed the ball and suction device against the pressure hull of the Sea Lotus until it adhered. After that, he tilted the Sappho 4's bow sharply upward and banked away, quickly disappearing into the watery void. 20 seconds later, a sharp thump sounded through the water. At first, Chin Chang was mystified as he felt the Sea Lotus shudder. Too late, he realized that Pitt's brave defiance against overwhelming odds was a diversion for an attack from another source. And then he watched in growing horror as a spider web of tiny fractures spread across the upper wall of the pressure chamber. Suddenly, water burst inside as if shot from a small cannon. The pressure chamber maintained its integrity and did not implode, but the incoming flood spelled its doom. Chin Chang froze in cold fright as the water rose higher and higher, rapidly filling the small interior of the submersible. He frantically switched on the pumps to drain the ballast tanks and hit the lever to drop the heavy weights beneath the keel. The Sea Lotus sluggishly ascended for several feet and then hung there as the flooding water neutralized its buoyancy. Then it slowly began to fall, settling into the bottom and throwing up a thin cloud of silt. Now, in mindless panic, Chin Chang desperately tried to open the outer hatch in an insane attempt to reach the surface 430 feet above, an impossible gesture because of the immense water pressure outside. Pitt moved the newt suit through the cloud of silt and gazed through the submersible's viewing window, remembering the sight of the bodies strewn in the depths of Orion Lake as the Chinese arch-criminal pulled himself up into a rapidly compressing air pocket for one last breath before the icy water of the lake filled his nose and open screaming mouth. The screams were soon choked off until the only sound coming from the Sea Lotus was the gurgling of escaping bubbles. Then, as if set on a timer, the halogen lights blinked out, throwing the submersible into total darkness. Pitt was sweating heavily inside the newt suit. He stood on the bottom, staring with grim satisfaction at the underwater tomb of Chin Chang. The billionaire shipping magnate, who had dominated and exploited and slain thousands of innocent people, would spend eternity in the deep next to the empty treasure ship that had obsessed most of his waking life. It was a fitting end, Pitt thought, without the slightest sense of pity. He glanced up as Giordino reappeared in the Sappho 4. "You took your sweet time. I might have been killed." Giordino hovered the sub until their faces behind the protective transparent shields were no more than 2 feet apart. "I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the show," he laughed. "If you could have only seen yourself in that Pillsbury Doughboy suit playing Errol Flynn with a pipe as his sword." "Next time you do the hard part." "Chin Chang?" asked Giordino. Pitt pointed a pincer at the inert submersible. "Where he belongs." "How are you fixed for air?" "Down to 20 minutes." "No time to waste. Stand still until I can connect up my cable to the lift ring on top of your helmet. Then I'll tow you to the surface." "Not just yet," said Pitt. "I've got a little task to perform." He activated the little thrusters on the newt suit and moved up the sides of the superstructure until he came to the wheelhouse. The bulkheads had been torched away for entry and for the removal of the treasures packed in the passageways and former passenger staterooms. He quickly studied a diagram of the ship's interior that he had taped to the globular viewplate and began propelling the pressurized suit past the captain's cabin next to the wheelhouse to the next cabin beyond. Amazingly, the furnishings were still relatively intact and jumbled about the small compartment. After only a few minutes' search, Pitt found what he was looking for and removed a small pouch from the utility belt on the newt suit and filled it with objects from one corner of the cabin. "You'd better get a move on," came Giordino's worried voice. "On my way," Pitt complied. With 3 minutes to spare, the Sappho 4 and the newt suit surfaced one behind the other and were lifted on board the Ocean Retriever. As the technicians worked to remove Pitt from the big dive suit, he looked across the water at Chin Chang's Jade Adventurer. A boarding party from the Coast Guard cutter was routinely examining the ship's papers before ordering it out of American waters. When he was finally free of the ponderous suit, Pitt leaned wearily over the railing and gazed down into the water as Julia came up behind him and ran her arms around his waist, clasping her hands across his stomach.
"I was worried about you," she said softly.
"I put my trust in Al and Rudy, knowing they would never fail."
"Is Chin Chang dead?" she asked,
certain of the answer. He held her head between his hands and looked down into her gray eyes. "He's only a bad memory it pays to forget." She pulled back, her face suddenly disturbed.
"When word leaks out that you killed him, you're going to be in big trouble with the government."
Despite the exhaustion, Pitt threw back his head and laughed. "Dear heart, I'm always in big trouble with the government.